Welcome to the Boogie Down Bombers Podcast. A podcast talking all things Yankees and baseball.
Now batting for the Yankees.
Now, here's your hosts, Austin, Tim, and Nick.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Boogie Down Bombers Podcast. I'm Austin Verhill, and along with Tim LaDuca and Nick Giovanelli, today we have... I have a feeling this episode's gonna suck. Not in terms of content, but in terms of the Yankees have been trash, and there hasn't been much good going on. We'll start off talking about I don't know how to really analyze what they've been doing. They're 13. They have 13 losses in 18 games. And at this point, there's a lot of people on Twitter questioning the job of Aaron Boone. And where do you guys stand on that?
I mean, it's not every loss is Aaron Boone's fault. Like, obviously, there's been some questionable decisions he's made when it comes to taking pitchers out or, like, leaving them in for too long or bringing in the wrong reliever. But when it really comes down to it, the Yankees don't know how to hit if their life depended on it. And, like, their starting pitching hasn't even been that bad lately. It's either the Yankees have a lead and they blow it late, or they go down early and can't come back from it. And either way, it's upsetting, but you can't blame the whole thing on Aaron Boone.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead.
I think this team needs a spark. Last year, you think about the Savages in the box. That really put a spark in this team, and it was something the coach did, the manager did, to help the team out. Right now, I think there's one thing that can put a spark in this team. I thought maybe Clint Frazier coming up would put a spark in the team, and the bats would get hot. Maybe a couple of maybe the big win or the win against the Rays when tempers flared would get this team excited again. But there's one thing that's going to get this team hot, and it's Aaron Judge, their leader, their best player, coming back and hitting tanks again. He's been hurt. The team's been struggling as a result of it, I think. And once they have their leader back, it changes the entire lineup. It changes the entire mood of the team. And if he can stay healthy, the Yankees will go with Aaron Judge. But right now, they're just struggling because they don't have a real leader. And the leader they do have right now, Brett Gardner, he's struggling too. So if Aaron Judge comes back, then the Yankees are going to start coming back. But they've been terrible in their last 18 games.
You know, they sure have. There's no denying that. I think you hit the nail on the head with Judge coming back and rejuvenating the team. But I'm seeing legit people wanting Boone fired over this. And it's ridiculous, if you ask me, to put all the blame on Boone. You have to put the blame on literally everyone right now. If the offense is doing well, the pitching gives up 10 runs. If the pitching gives up 3 runs, the Yankees can't even get one. There's not one specific thing that's screwing the Yankees over right now, and that's the worrisome part, is multiple things are failing them right now. And for people to put that exclusively on Boone, what is he supposed to do? It's not... I'm going to say something that may be controversial. A manager in baseball is almost insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in terms of other sports. When it comes to hockey, there's different systems. You saw that. I don't want to spend too long on other sports, but you saw that with the Islanders. They were awful. They get a good coach, and now their defense became one of the best in the league. You go to basketball, same thing. There's different spreads on the floor. There's different setups. You had the triangle, which didn't work out so well, and then others. And same thing with football. But you go to baseball, it's a person's at the plate and he has to hit it. So it's not, I think the only spreads you get are defensive shifts, but we're not losing these games because of the way we're shifting. So I don't want to say you can't put any blame on Boone or any blame on any manager, but to put everything on Boone right now is ridiculous. This team would be performing just as poorly as if it was someone with a different name in that spot if they were still as injured.
Yeah, the problem was how good they played last year with the injuries, and then Boone gets manager of the year because of it, or almost wins manager of the year because of it.
Yeah, but we can't for any reason expect the team. I mean, I understand they did it last year, but we can't expect the team to perform at a top team level when you're missing Judge, Stanton, Paxton, Canely,
Torres,
who just came back
last year.
Severino. I mean, we're missing six superstars, and you can't expect us to play like we're completely healthy. Here's what we, if I'm being honest, here's what we need, right? All we need is we need our players to come back, and we need to make the playoffs. I don't care how we make it. Make the playoffs, have a healthy team, and then, I mean, you could win the World Series from any spot in the playoffs. I mean, the Nationals did it from the wild card just last year. So that's my thoughts on the whole Boone thing. But we were talking about how to rejuvenate it and sparks. One spark could be Clark Schmidt. He did debut. He didn't pitch phenomenally, but he didn't really get
he wasn't put in a situation for a proper debut.
Yeah, so he didn't get a start.
Now you see, that's something you could put on Aaron Boone. Clark Schmidt has never been a reliever. He was put into a high-leverage situation, and for the first major league pitching performance of his career, it's not exactly what you should do for a young player like him.
True. I completely agree. I'm not trying to say that Boone is free of all criticism,
but
right now.
He shouldn't be blamed for everything.
No, and no one should be calling for his job. That's my main point.
You know what that's like? It's like people calling for Cashman's head.
Yeah, it's the same people. It's the same people.
Like, yeah, we didn't make a lot of trades, but we didn't make any. But Cashman,
there's none out there for us to make that would have been worth it.
You want to give up Davey Garcia, Gleyber Torres, and Clark Schmidt? Not Gleyber Torres.
Especially in this season.
Not Gleyber. Who is it?
Clint.
Clint, yeah. Like, what are you doing? Get out of here.
I'm not giving up Clint. I mean, I would give up Davey for a Clevenger, but I'm not giving up a Davey and a Clint.
I'm not giving up seven prospects like the Padres did.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. So, I mean, it'll be what it be. And you know what else I see a lot of? Is a lot of people wanting Trevor Bauer to come to the... That's never going to happen.
You want a guy who won't be able to perform in New York, like Sonny Gray or Lance Lynn.
I don't want to just say... I think he doesn't care to the point where it wouldn't matter. However, him and Gerrit Cole hate each other. Like, it goes all the way back to UCLA. They do not like each other.
Oh, yeah, they were on the same squad.
Yeah, they don't like each other. There is no shot. And I'm telling you right now, if I'm picking between Trevor Bauer and Gerrit Cole, I'm picking Gerrit Cole every single time.
And even if someone argues about the numbers right now, I don't care. I'm still taking Gerrit Cole all day, every day. You won't, and, don't want to have to ask me twice.
And even if you don't want to pick Gerrit Cole over Trevor Bauer, you don't have the choice. Signed him for 9 years. It's done. It's Gerrit Cole. So, let's stop the Trevor Bauer stuff.
And with Trevor Bauer, you're getting headlines all the time. And you know what got Joe Girardi fired? Headlines with Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that Boone is doing that wouldn't happen with any other manager. And if it didn't happen with any other manager, that manager would get fired.
Is it Boone's fault that the Yankees are hitting one home run a game over the last 18 games compared to almost two in their first 22? Is it his fault that they're batting 203 compared to 263 in the beginning of the year?
They have the worst hitting in the American League East, right? They have the lowest batting average?
Yeah, I mean, we know that batting average doesn't matter, but it still shows something.
Like, the whoever's fourth, I think it's the Rays, they have like they're batting like 238. We're batting like 203.
We're batting 203 over this 5-13 stretch. The Yankees were batting 263 when they were 16-6.
Here's the thing. We hear all the time now that batting average doesn't matter. That's not true. It's not as important or the number one stat as it once was. Not at all.
I used to think batting average was like, oh, this means this dude's a good hitter. It's important. It shows that he gets on base with hits, but it is not the number one. Big batting average means amazing player.
It's not the end all be all. But
yeah,
if you're hitting 380. Or 350 or above, it's something to talk about. If you're hitting below 200, it's something to talk about. When it's at the extremes, that's when you talk about it.
You know who has really bad batting average right now?
Pretty much everyone on the Yankees.
You know who has the worst batting average right now?
Who's that?
Gary Sanchez. He has the lowest batting average in the MLB.
No!
He is batting 130.
Okay, but yeah. What else can we do to say how bad Sanchez is playing? Give me a second.
Look at every other stat, pretty much. I would think.
Yeah.
His OPS plus is 59.
His WAR
-0.5. I have -0.5.
You're on Baseball Reference.
Yeah.
Strikeout percentage.
God. It's 50.
42%, yeah.
Yikes.
Batting average on balls in play, 133. So his 130 average is pretty true. Slugging. How many players have a higher on-base percentage than his slugging percentage? 350. Oh, my
Jesus
God.
Jesus Christ.
The only good thing about him this year, his defensive WAR is 1.3.
Here's the thing. I understand that it's frustrating and that we want to win, but I don't know how seriously we could take this season.
I
don't know, man.
I don't know about that, because if the Yankees were 30-10, I'd be like, this season matters completely.
Good call.
I get that, and I think that's true for pretty much everyone. But we're seeing how many people are getting injured right now, just around the league.
The Rays pitching staff is depleted.
I don't think that this season is less of a season because of how many games we're playing. I think it was the ramp up.
Mm-hmm.
No one had any time to do anything.
Didn't Paxton talk about that?
Yes, he did. the team, every team right now is struggling with some sort of, there's not one team that's like, yeah, we're completely 100% healthy, everything's going great. Because every team is getting screwed. We got screwed by injuries last year, but even more so
this year, man. My God.
When you give the players, how long was summer camp?
What, 2 weeks?
Yeah, legitimately, we were off. So they come, they cancel the season a week before it's supposed to happen, and they cancel spring training. So spring training started in what, late February or mid February, goes to late March. So that's like a month. Then we have over what, 2 months off. So let's see, we gets canceled in March. You have April, May. No,
June.
We came back like mid-June, so we had like 2.5 months off.
And not even, it's not like the off-season where, okay, February 15th, we're getting back at it. It was, hey, we might not even play. So you got guys hitting in their $100 million mansions, and you got guys who are like, screw it, I'm spending time with my family, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, and you had people who didn't have the choices to do, like, didn't have the options. Because remember, at first, everything was closed. You couldn't get anything. So, I can't remember who it was, but there was a catcher just living with Max Scherzer. So, I mean, he at least had the ability to catch someone, and Max had someone to throw to. But I mean, you saw
Joey Gallo, who's hitting in his apartment.
then you had Joe Kelly, who was breaking his windows. I still don't get how he did that. That had to be the biggest net I've ever seen.
And he still missed.
And he missed the net and destroyed his window. I mean, and it was a changeup. I don't understand how we missed that net. It's bananas. But we're talking about these down moments. Let's talk about something that'll bring us up. And I think that's Eric Kratz's relationship with Davey Garcia.
Eric Kratz is a king.
It is by far the best thing going on right now. You guys want to hear it? I have the audio right here.
Go for it.
And they really praise the effort that you've made. What is it about Davey and these young Hispanic guys that treasure working with you?
I don't know. Like, you're probably going to get me a little emotional, but I love seeing what they can do. And I think sometimes some people forget where they come from. Some people forget that they want it just as badly, and there's people at home that want it just as badly for them, and they're not around them. They're not around their family. They're not around the people there. So being older, being, you know, hopefully I can be somebody that can step in and help that relationship. And not everyone sees it. My Spanish isn't that great, but it's something that I try and I want it to be good. And now I get to cry on Zooms. Because I got kids too, and I hope somebody would treat my kids that way.
So he started crying while talking about just his relationship with the younger, specifically Hispanic players. And that's something special to have on the team. To have a especially a catcher, because of how closely they work with the pitchers. And this is something, he's 40, but this is something that earns you a roster spot, is this type of leadership and this type of bringing someone under their wing. And it's so funny how they refer to each other as father and son. I find that absolutely hilarious. All right, we got nothing to add on that?
No, I don't know. I don't know, playing devil's advocate here. I thought it was a little creepy at first, at least. Yeah, I'm like, why is this guy crying? And he cried right off the bat.
Well,
seemed a little, it kind of put me off a little bit, I have to be honest.
Well, here's what I think it is. I think he immediately, he talked about they literally leave their contract. Like, remember the Jose Fernandez story? And how many times he tried to defect. Or if you, Yasiel Puig's story is bananas. And a lot of them will leave without any family. And they have literally no one. So he's trying to bring them under his wing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not to think about. Imagine just going to a different country. Let me try to think of a scenario. Imagine going to, I'm trying to think of a country that doesn't speak English. But I can't think of any that don't have, at least English as a second language. Maybe Russia, but I think, whatever. Let's say you go to Russia and no one else speaks English there. Imagine going to Russia, not knowing Russian, and trying to become, like, a hockey player. It's gotta be nuts. I mean, not knowing anyone, not and speaking lonely, language.
And yeah. Also, you're in quarantine too, so you can't see anybody ever, except for your teammates.
It's gotta be rough. And when you're a rookie, yeah, you're making good money, but it's not like you're making bananas money. Especially when you're in the minors, you're making close to nothing. So it's really good for us to have someone like Kratz in our organization, especially with how valuable Cashman values the international pool.
'Cause he lives there, man.
He sure does.
It's a beautiful thing, too.
I don't know how much longer Kratz is going to be playing. Like I said, he's 40. But I want... Do we see him as a coach? I mean, Cashman clearly likes him.
That. If it's Cashman, not with us, he's getting a coaching job somewhere.
Cashman clearly likes him. I mean, how many times do we have to sign the guy? We signed him like 4 or 5 times. He seems to love... It's not like he's someone that doesn't want to work with the younger players. This is some... I don't think we see him as a hitting coach or anything right away. Especially since he's not that great of a hitter. But this is someone I think we could see as like a player's development coach. For sure.
I feel like that would be the perfect... I don't know the guy, but that sounds like the perfect spot for him.
Bullpen catcher?
No, player development coach.
I'm just saying, you don't go to a bullpen catcher after retiring. Right?
No, I don't think you... Maybe, but no, I don't think... I think that's kind of a downgrade.
Yeah.
A player's development coach, that's like a respect thing. I don't... Bullpen catchers kind of...
Yo, respect bullpen catchers, bro.
Well, yeah, but I don't think you're gonna want to be the backup catcher.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And then turn into a bullpen catcher, especially with when it comes to player development coach, you can help anyone. It doesn't have to just be a pitcher. When you're a bullpen catcher, you're literally stuck in there.
Radley Haddad is the Major League Coaching Assistant / Bullpen Catcher.
Oh, so he's also a coach.
Yeah.
Okay. He wears a few hats, that guy. We touched up a bit upon the Ray drama, the Rays drama. But let's talk about it fully now. The Rays have been killing us this year. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah.
Ironic use of the word killing. Because Chapman could have killed him.
No.
This is what I'm talking about, guys. I've been anti unwritten rule game polices itself since before the Astros scandal. This is so stupid. I hate it. I wasn't impressed by Chapman. He was definitely doing it on purpose. Don't give me that. Quote of the year was when he said, "I've never intentionally hit somebody." Okay, you beat your wife. You intentionally hit her. That was so ironic. It just made my blood boil.
Didn't he shoot a gun at her?
No, he shot a gun in the garage. She was not in the garage.
He shot a gun in the same time that he was. So, I mean. But anyway, keep going.
If he hits Brousseau, guy might die. With 102, the back of the head too, where it was going. And the pettiness of, you were pitching up and in at us, so we're going to pitch up and in at you. And I'm going to get suspended for this. I need to protect my team, blah, blah, blah. Brousseau comes back, it's 2 home runs. There you go. He got his revenge. The Rays win the next game. They got their revenge, right? Yeah, and they don't throw at anybody. They don't get suspended. It's so dumb. There's nothing like this in any other sport. And it's the most dangerous thing you can do.
Well, there's straight up open fighting in hockey.
That's different.
I mean, that's an agreement between two players. They're like, all right, we'll duke it out right now for 5 minutes.
Yeah, but you do see hits that if someone... There's some stupid unwritten rules in hockey, especially with I think the shooting the puck into an empty net after the whistle's blown is one of the dumbest unwritten rules. Someone will literally try to behead you in hockey if you do that. Uh-huh. They will swing without letting you know. It's not like the gloves.
Don't do it then, because it's been a thing for years.
Well, that's the same thing here. Well, I don't know if it's the same thing here because I can't really think of an unwritten rule here that was broken. But Chapman throws at him, but I can't blame the response. But first of all, why did Aaron Boone get suspended?
What the hell did he do? The actual reason that the MLB stated was that he got suspended for Chapman's actions. Because that makes sense.
But he didn't do it. Chapman did it.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure they thought that Boone told them to do it, even though there's literally no proof of that.
Or Boone didn't tell him not to do it. They could be saying too.
I know.
Kevin Cash literally... He did straight up say
it was something else.
We're gonna he threatened and said he was going to. And he only got suspended one game. It doesn't make sense with the suspensions.
Suspensions have been so inconsistent throughout the whole season.
They're a joke.
Now, while we're on the topic, Joe Kelly was talking about this. And he says it is a little bit fishy how he said it definitely looks kind of fishy. I obviously knew that what does he mean by this? Obviously, I knew that Chapman was a person again. And with the language that they're using at me, it was always that I was a repeat offender. I already had one strike on my record. and Chapman had the same exact thing. But obviously, I said a little bit more words than Chapman said. Kelly, who has not served the suspension because he's still on the injured list, I don't think the words that I used to the people who made these decisions were very, very nice when the appeal process went down behind closed doors. So I ruffled some feathers. It just shows that their feelings got hurt, just like anyone else's feelings get hurt. So it is what it is. I would still like to know what they think, what the difference is. I mean, he's kind of right in terms of they both threw at someone and didn't hit them. Chapman got 3 games. Kelly got 8.
Didn't the appeal bring it down to like 5? But either way, 8 games to start
but
is a lot.
The initial response was 8. That's bananas.
And even after the appeal, he still got 2 more games than Chapman did to start.
Yes. So I don't... The only difference is we didn't throw at the Astros. That's the only difference. Other than that,
Chapman threw harder than Kelly too.
Yeah. So I completely agree with Kelly. It doesn't make any sense. But I mean, if it's not going to make sense, I'd rather it not make sense in favor of the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
So at least we got that going for us. But their reaction, the Rays' reaction. So. Brousseau, is that how you pronounce it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brousseau. So he gets thrown at. Next game, he hits 2 home runs. Good for him. Honestly, I mean, I'm not going to... He responded well to what happened. But after the game, they said they shed tears over it.
Yeah, shedding tears after a regular season game kinda didn't really sit well with me. Like,
what are you shedding tears
really?
Over?
You hit 2. I wouldn't like. Why are you crying? You should be hyped. You should be like, yeah, I got revenge against the team that threw my head. But you're crying?
That made no sense to me. Are you? You know how you were talking about why was Eric Kratz crying? Why the hell is this guy crying?
It was just kind of strange. He cried because he hit 2 home runs in a regular
season. And he's not the only
game.
One. The guy said, we definitely shed some tears over it. Yeah, who the hell is we?
Was Blake Snell in the clubhouse crying because his teammate hit 2 home runs against the Yankees? Like.
No, it's weird. It's definitely.
He's all I can think of.
It's so weird. I don't. Like, and the memes that came out after this were kind of fantastic. Because did you know the Rays have a banner hanging up that signifies their wild card win?
No, they don't. No way. No way.
And then next to it, next to it is a, next to it is one, because they made the World Series, but there's a, someone made a meme where they whitened out the World Series one and wrote, hit 2 home runs in a regular season game against the Yankees. And it's hilarious. Oh, they were celebrating it way too hard.
Well, I mean, you saw that from the beginning of the year. Like, before our first series, Blake Snell was like, it always means more to celebrate after beating the Yankees. Which, I mean, I kind of understand.
I'm sure it does. Because different teams have different... I'm not going to celebrate beating the Cleveland Browns the same way I'm going to celebrate beating the Patriots of the past. It's not going to happen. Different wins have different meanings, and that's completely fine. The Yankees should be the team you want to beat the most.
Yeah, especially because they're our rival now.
Oh, for sure.
They are our main rival in the AL East when it comes to competition, even though the Blue Jays are ahead of us right now.
It reminds me, though, of the Cubs and Cardinals, what, 2 years ago? Last year? Is it even really a rivalry right now? Maybe we have a rivalry with them, but I don't think the Rays have much of a rivalry with us after they're 8-2. Which sucks to hear, but I mean, the Yankees just are not as good as the Rays right now.
You're right. They're not. At this moment, the Yankees are not playing as well as the Rays are.
Oh my God. I hate the Trop.
They have multiple? They have one for the 2011 wild card also?
Yeah.
Are you...
They should have one banner, and it should be their pennant. That's it.
There's nothing I hate more than banners that aren't deserved.
Don't the Nashville Predators have some whack banners?
Oh my God, yes. They have one for just being the best team in the conference during the regular season.
We have oh my God.
Isn't that the President's Trophy?
That's best team in the league. That's understandable. But the other two... Alright. Only one of these three shouldn't be there. They have Central Division Champions, which shouldn't... That big whoop. You don't need a banner for that. But they have President's Trophy and Western Conference Champs. Alright, those two are fine. But that's like the Yankees having AL East champion banners in their stadium.
It's ridiculous. I hate stuff like that. In my opinion, there's only two reasons you should be hanging up a banner. It's if you make the World Series and if you win the World Series.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't want to hear anything else. I don't want the Warriors hanging up most wins in a season because they didn't win the championship. I don't want to see the Predators hanging up. Oh, we did pretty good during the regular season, guys. That should not exist. I hate it. I hate it. So it's literally embarrassing. Every article on this. I mean, I don't even think they should have one for the President's Trophy.
Yeah,
this is Yankees 27 rings privilege. I'm in favor. I mean, wild card, not a pennant, but you could write it on the wall somewhere. I think if you win your division, that's worthy enough.
I don't.
As long as you indicate it with a different color. I think if you win your division, you can have a banner. You can't have it if you win the wild card.
I'll make peace with this. If you have one banner that has every year you won the division on it, okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
If you have one for every time you won a division, learn what banners are for.
That takes away from having banners. If you have one for everything.
Doesn't your high school gym have like every time your team makes the playoffs?
No.
My high school
gym. We only have
the
championships.
We had flags with the championships.
Yeah,
they were all on one flag, so it wasn't like multiple.
That might be more of a money thing than anything else.
I'm pro division banner. Like if you're saying like division champs and you list all the years.
Yeah, no. This is for 1 year. The Predators have it.
They have three banners, all from like the same year.
Yeah.
And that's all their banners.
Should we make a banner for ourselves?
What should our banner say?
10,000 listens.
I
don't
know.
Can we all get like a small banner? Yo,
Bart. You want to buy yourself a banner?
I said, can we get our own?
Maybe like an Ichiro hit counter, and I'll just like tally it every time.
It's kind of fire.
He kind of retired. It might be hard. I don't think you're going to be ticking that anymore.
No, ticking it for us.
Oh.
He said he'd
for
like
each
that.
Play, for each play.
Yeah.
Fun fact, guys. I meant to mention this in the beginning, but I forgot because I'm a moron. if you have an Alexa, you could now say, "Alexa, play the Boogie Down Bombers podcast," and it will. So, I wanted to do that, and then I looked into how to do it, and then I did it. It was pretty simple, not that hard, but I got it, and I'm very excited about it. So, if you guys, you're laying in bed, you're like, "Oh, the boys released another episode. I want to listen to it." You don't even have to get up anymore. You don't have to press it. You can do it with your voice. That's sick. Nick, you have updates on Stanton and Judge while we were talking about our injuries before?
Yes, sir. Let me pull those up. While we wait, I have a stat to bring us down before I bring us up.
Okay,
The Yankees' average with runners in scoring position is 186.
Oof. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about when it's 20th. Real low, how it's an issue. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
They're tied for 28th in the league. So they might as well just be the worst. All right. Gary Sanchez, it's not an injury update, but he was taking BP before the game in Buffalo because we were playing the Blue Jays starting tonight. And he was talking with Aaron Boone while he was taking BP. So hopefully it's good progress stuff. That's the same thing. Max Goodman, Yankees digital reporter for Sports Illustrated, he tweeted out, "While these last few days have been encouraging, Giancarlo Stanton is way beyond his targeted return date of 3 to 4 weeks, as we knew. Aaron Boone says they're being particularly cautious due to his history of lower extremity soft tissue injuries and in an effort to avoid any sort of re-injury." Do we think Giancarlo Stanton comes back before the postseason?
Ugh.
I hope so. I sure hope so. Because, think about it. Before Judge, Stanton, and LeMahieu went down, who were our three best players? It was Judge, Stanton, and LeMahieu. So, and that's when we were winning. We literally had two guys carrying the team at the time. Well, three. But we had... And Cole was on fire to start off.
It was a three-headed monster in the lineup, man.
And that's it. That's all it was. Gary didn't play well the whole year. Gleyber struggled the whole year. It's not like everyone else just got worse. It's that everyone was already playing that poorly, and you took away the three people who weren't.
Their poor play was amplified when the three guys that were like covering it up with their success were taken out of the lineup.
Exactly.
All right, so that was Stanton. Again, Max T. Goodman. Aaron Judge ran outside today to start his ramp up of baseball activities. Aaron Boone says he hasn't gotten the report yet on his other baseball activity today. This is back at 4:37. It is currently 6:23, so he might have updated that. But Max Goodman also put up a quote from Aaron Boone saying, "I know he's feeling well, and everything went well in his first time running on the field, so that's good news." And we need this guy back way sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so that's what we got in terms of the Yankees. Let's take a quick break before we go into the Around the Horn. Come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top tier athletes in a respective sport. Choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup. Each prop has fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur. The more points a selection is, the riskier it is. Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Use promo code Boogie when you sign up today and you will receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store or by visiting www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and hashtag prop up today.
You're listening to the Boogie Down Bombers podcast. Here's your hosts, Austin, Tim, and Nick.
So we're back with Around the Horn, which is where we go around the league and we look at things that don't have to do with the Yankees.
Swag. And
we're can that be our new transition?
Swag.
Swag.
Swag. Nick?
Swag.
All right, well.
We're back.
I wanted to... Okay. You made it hard for me.
What?
I wanted to... Okay. We're going to start off pretty somber. And then...
Just swag. A touch of swag.
Okay,
How somber? How somber? Maybe we should postpone the somber.
For right now after this...
Too swag.
Okay, we'll postpone the somber because this feels like it would be completely disrespectful. So we're gonna do something else.
All
right. Mike Rizzo was ejected from a game in Atlanta. I don't even know why. There's like conflicting reports. We heard him say. One of the umps, I think it was Joe West. We heard him say he's not wearing a mask when he was on the field. But however, Mike Rizzo was alone and in his own suite, and Joe West doesn't wear a mask when he's on the field. Sometimes I don't know why, but
the only picture I saw with him wearing one, he had it under his nose.
Yeah.
So.
Wearing a mask is swag. Not wearing a mask, not swag.
Yo, facts. Yo, deadass, Tim.
You know how people really don't seem to like Joe West?
Yeah.
Yes.
He certainly did not help himself with this explanation.
I really don't think he cares.
He said, and I quote, "If it was Donald Trump, I'd eject him too, but I'd still vote for him."
Jesus, not swag.
Dog, who the fuck asked?
Gee.
Whoa.
Yo, why?
You're gonna bleep for that.
Nah, we're explicit now.
Who asked? I don't care. Like, why did he have to bring in politics?
Yeah, what was the point?
I think I know what this is.
What is this?
Joe West hates wearing a mask, and the MLB is probably like really trying to get him to wear one. So now he's going overboard with it. Anyone he sees not wearing a mask is gone.
Oh, he's being a child.
In the upper deck.
He's being a child for sure.
So, like, if I have to wear my mask, everyone has to wear their mask.
I hate, like, there's parts of me where I really like Joe West, but I hate Joe West.
We need a segment where we just rapid fire through things and we say if it's swag or not swag.
I am all for that. I will get a sound set up for next week.
Can we rename Around the League Around the Swag?
Should we rename the podcast?
The Boogie Down Swags?
Okay, well, first off, no. But second off, it's not even called Around the League. It's called Around the Horn. Thank you very much for paying attention.
Thank you very much.
Around the where we go around the league.
Yeah, it's the segment where we go around the league. So,
Well, either way, we should name it to Around the Swags. So,
I'm fine with that.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, no, maybe. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Maybe we go through a
topic.
Don't
have to make sense, though.
Facts. Maybe we go through topics in Around the Horn, and then at the end of the topic, all three of us give swag or not swag.
Oh, guys, I just thought of a completely original segment. All right. We call it Not Swag of the Week. And then what we do is we find one person of the week, and then we ripped into them, and that will they'll be our Not Swag of the Week.
Last week, our Not Swag of the Week was John Sterling, and Tim got to lay into him pretty hard with that.
Isn't it nuts how I just came up with that idea by myself?
Uh-huh, yeah, I've never heard of something like that ever. Although I doubt that there's something out there called Not Swag of the Week. Like, there's no way that's
Tim,
been...
Wait, no. Tim just texted the greatest. So I was
there's
completely...
Tim.
I was completely ripping off Foog of the Week. And
are we
then,
being a Foog?
And then Tim...
I thought you disconnected. He left again.
He did. He left. Come back, Tim. I'm sorry. I was kidding. I was making a joke. Fugazi merch is dropping soon. I was kidding. It's a joke. Tim and his Foog of the Week. You know what, Tim? How come? When are you going to be Foog of the Week? It's almost time.
He left the
chat. He keeps dropping out. All right, are we without Tim, I guess, now?
I mean, I guess.
Jeez. So Mike Rizzo ejected. Other reports are that he was arguing balls and strikes all game. But I don't know.
Hello?
Fun fact, this happened like a day.
Wait, Tim, you can hear us, right?
Yes.
Swag. Okay. This happened
are you done
like
roasting the Fugazi of the week.
Roasting it.
Did you not hear him like plug the merch and say
yeah,
sorry?
That was like complete admiration.
Oh, I thought you were making fun of it. That's why I left.
No, I like the idea.
Oh,
that's why he took it.
So this happened like a day after he got a multi-year extension. So.
3 years.
Mike Rizzo is going to be with the Nationals for at least 3 more years. I mean, he could always get fired, I guess. But
I mean, he's done a pretty good job lately.
The only questionable
World Series last year.
The only move where I'm like, what the hell is he thinking was signing Strasburg instead of Rendon. That's the only move where I'm like, what the hell were you thinking? Other than that, he's doing everything that he should be doing.
I feel like you're more critical of that than anyone else I've heard.
I might be. I absolutely. It's the dumbest thing I've seen in a long time.
Like, I've heard people that are like, oh, maybe he should have signed Rendon instead of Strasburg. Oh, well. But you're like, you're really into this.
It's one of the dumbest moves I've seen in a while.
What would you compare it to? What dumb trade or signing would you put up there with this in your mind?
I can't think of one, really. Because here's the thing. Pitching is their strength. And hitting is currently their weakness. So anyone from anywhere could have predicted that taking Rendon out of that lineup would have made it significantly less productive than with him in it. So you take him out, the exact same deal, and instead you sign an older pitcher. Yes, he was World Series MVP, but an older pitcher who was already had a pass full of injury. And here's the thing. You get to see Strasburg once every 5 days when he's not injured. You get to see Rendon in the lineup every day.
Rendon could have won that World Series MVP, too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the win probability added. I'm pretty sure Rendon had more win probability added than Strasburg did.
I feel like he signed whoever won World Series MVP.
Just about to say that.
And that's a dumb thing to go by.
Well, it's a good thing he's not our GM. The best man in the biz.
Austin.
So, yes.
Swag or no swag? Re-signing Strasburg.
Not swag.
Really?
Not swag.
It's not swag?
It's swag if it didn't cost you losing Rendon.
Re-signing, or not re-signing Rendon.
Not re-signing Rendon is not swag.
Okay.
If you could have kept both, I mean, for sure.
Swag?
But if, yeah, swag. Swag, 100%. But the fact that you had to choose one and you chose Strasburg, not swag. Not swag. Dude. The Padres, I think I said this last episode, the Padres and the Nationals should trade Rendon and Strasburg for one for one.
Wait, you did say that.
I did say that.
Padres.
Oh, my bad. No, the Angels and the Nationals.
No, and the trade. Padres, though. They'd send 15 prospects to Washington and 23 to the Angels.
Yeah, they're making a three-way trade.
Do they have
trade.
Prospects anymore?
I mean, they gotta
what
have.
What did they do to their farm system?
Trade.
Do they have anyone?
What if they're like, okay, once our postseason window closes, we quit.
Good luck, guys.
That'd be funny.
I found an article about them from November. It's not what I want.
If they win the World Series this year,
I'd feel kind of bad.
I would feel bad too, cause I will feel bad, I think, for pretty much anyone who wins the World Series this year.
Yeah. Except for the Dodgers. Wait, no, yeah. The Dodgers would be pretty bad too, actually.
Yeah, for the Dodgers to lose twice and then the one time they win it is in a 60-game season where everyone's hurt.
I've changed my stance. I was saying this World Series means the same. Yankees win, Cubs win. I don't know. It just doesn't feel exactly the same.
I thought this, and then I kind of tried to persuade myself away from it.
Yeah.
But it's to the point where, like, even if the Yankees won the World Series, like, that's not how I want to win number 28. I don't want to win number 28 because it was only 60 games and everyone was hurt.
I mean, if the Yankees win it now with all of these injuries.
I mean, yeah, you look at it and you're like, they overcame adversity, but still, it's just there's something not right about it.
Eh. Give me 2021.
Dude, 2021 World Series? That, I think that one's going to be amplified.
All right, here's the big million-dollar question.
If it's full season and everything, it's that one's going to be amplified.
Winning the 2020 World Series. Swag or no swag?
Well, it's swag. Like, I'm not going to say... Like, let's forfeit it and not even bother playing it. Of course
it's
not.
It's not that you don't want to win the World Series.
It's just that you wish it didn't come this way.
Playoffs are going to be harder than last year, I think.
They're extended. So, I mean, in fact, that you have to take more rounds.
Yo, I'm sorry to interrupt. Luke Voit, baby. 1-0. Let's go.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even realize the game was on either.
It started at 6:37.
For some what?
Yeah, yeah, weird start time.
There's been weird start times all year.
I don't like it at all. I'm going to tell you something. If it's not a Saturday, get the hell away from me with this 1 p.m. start times.
I like having a non-Yankees game on during the afternoon. Because then if
so
I'm in the car,
I.
if I'm at work, or if I'm bored, I can watch it. And something about an afternoon Cubs game just hits different, too.
I watched the Mets-Phillies during one of my classes today.
You had class today?
Yeah, I had class on Labor Day.
Wow, your school hates laborers.
Wait, how the hell did you go to school on Labor Day? Like, in class, or was it online?
Well, it was both. It's just that I had online class today. Some people I know went in.
That's awful.
Yeah, but it was in the schedule since we got it. We only have Election Day and Thanksgiving off this semester. Every other day we're taking class.
Wait, hold on. But your Thanksgiving, is that at least like a 3-day break, or is it only Thanksgiving?
Yeah,
only
I think we get the week.
Okay. Why is that? Isn't that a private school? Like what is... I think that's a private school. I don't know. I could be wrong. But, like, they don't have to... That makes no sense to me.
They want to finish the semester quick, so there's just less days off. Because there's people still there, and they want to get them out.
I guess.
Yeah, like, people moved in, so they want to finish the semester as quick as possible. But anyway, the Yankees, they're winning. It's a good day so far. Please
don't
ruin my day.
You know how I was talking about how everyone was injured?
Yeah.
Kluber's done for the season. So that hurts the Rangers. How are the Rangers even doing?
Bad.
Didn't they trade Mike Minor?
They did. And they were looking to trade Joey Gallo, which was interesting
to me. Aaron Hicks, let's go.
Hicks to the sticks?
Done, though. Let's go, yeah.
Phenomenal.
But I don't think they were shopping Gallo. I think they were just listening to offers.
If I'm the Rangers, I think it makes a lot of sense to trade Joey Gallo.
Who else do they have?
Well, no one, and that's the problem.
What?
That Kluber trade makes no sense to me, looking back at it.
Yeah, what?
Like, why did they do that?
Wasn't it for money? Like, didn't the Indians trade him away for, like, because they couldn't pay him or something?
Well,
why would the Rangers want him?
Yeah, but why did the Rangers trade for him?
That's the point. That's my point.
Now I want to look at what that trade actually was. Like, who'd they give up?
They give up...
in that trash division? Oh, the Angels. And the Mariners.
Ooh,
yeah,
Mariners.
Not a great division.
Ooh.
Because the Astros and A's are, like, mad good, so those other three teams have no shot.
Ooh.
They traded for Mariners. They traded away nothing.
Didn't they trade away Mazzara?
No.
He went to the White Sox.
Oh, that was a corresponding move, I think.
Delino DeShields Jr. and Emmanuel Clase.
Well, Emmanuel Clase is a hard-throwing prospect.
Now I want to look at where he
DeLino
was.
Delino DeShields he was like a young guy who with potential.
Emmanuel Clase received a PED suspension in May.
Wow. Maybe that's why he was throwing so hard.
Yeah.
But a hard throw, it doesn't make sense. But why even just have him there to take up the money?
Isn't DeShield somewhere else now?
No, I think he's still there. He's still with the Cleveland, I think.
Yeah, he is.
Adding on to the massive IL, Altuve's there now.
Now, you see, I'm not advocating for players to get hurt, but
If there's one person I'm not upset to see injured, it's him.
Well, that was a completely contradicting statement.
I'm not saying I want him to get hurt, but I'm not upset that he is. I do not want him to have a career-ending injury.
I'd rather him
don't care.
I'd rather him be on the field but playing poorly.
Yes, exactly.
You guys want to go over the standings?
Tim, wow.
What happened?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
That's not swag. That's just not swag, dude. Where the heck... Oh, here it is. Let's take a look at the standings. You guys want to talk for a second while my dog is scratching as hard as he can at my door?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, the Yankees just wanted to make this this series interesting, so they let the Blue Jays pass them.
I like that.
But you know what I'm not a fan of?
What?
I'm not a fan of the Minnesota Twins having a 605 winning percentage in third place. That's not good for business.
Especially if the Yankees are going to be... Central.
I'm back.
If the Yankees are fighting for the eighth wild card spot.
So, how many teams make it?
Eight.
Eight from each.
Right now, it's Tampa Bay, Chicago White Sox, Oakland as the division winners, Toronto, Cleveland, and Houston as the second-place teams, and then Yankees and Minnesota. But as I just said, Minnesota has a 600 winning percentage in third place.
So, hold on. I'm getting
confused.
The Tigers
aren't out of it either.
So, White Sox are phenomenal right now.
Yeah, what?
I didn't see that happening.
Neither did I. I was low on them. Everyone else was high on them.
I was high on their offense, but their pitching is just, it was never something to be high on.
I mean, they had Moncada, they added Encarnacion and Grandal. Robert came up and is lighting it up. Who else is in that lineup that I'm forgetting? Jose Abreu is always nice.
Jose Abreu is so disrespected in terms of not being brought up ever.
Yeah,
I had a picture of him on my wall when he first debuted for some reason.
Why?
I was big on Jose Abreu when he first came up. He was from Cuba, right?
Cuba.
Yeah.
Is he?
He is one of those good feel-good stories.
You know what's interesting? He came to the White Sox as a huge prospect, and he was like, you know what? I want number 79.
Yeah, what a weird number.
Like, he chose that. Like, that wasn't just like, here you go. Here's your shot at the big leagues, kid. It was like, you're our future. What do you want? 79. Interesting choice number.
His mother, Daisy Correa, chose the number so that people would remember him.
Wait, how'd you find that so fast?
Just a lucky guess, I guess. I have no clue if that's true.
Oh.
No, well, it's on Wikipedia.
Oh, you said it so confidently. I was like, how did you just make that up? So the White Sox are in first in that division at 26 and 15. Then the Indians are directly behind them at 25 and 15. Twins are 26 and 17. The Tigers are 18 and 21, and then the Royals are 14 and 27. In the AL East, let's just get this over with. The Rays are 28 and 13. The Blue Jays are 22 and 18. The Yankees are 21 and 19. The Orioles are 19 and 21, and then the Red Sox are 14 and 28. Looking at the AL West, the A's in Houston are on top of the division. The A's are 23 and 14 to be number one. And then the Astros are 21 and 19. Mariners are 18 and 22. Angels 17-25, Rangers 13-26. So that's your American League, and then you look at the National League. You have the Cubs 23-18, the Cardinals 17-15, the Brewers 18-21, the Reds 18-23, and then the Pirates 13-26. The Braves are 24-17. The Phillies are 20-17. They really, really just shot up the standings. The Marlins are 18-18. The Mets are 19-23. And then the Nationals are 14-25. So your reigning World Series champions are last in the division.
Where have we seen that before? Red Sox.
Were they last in the division after they won it?
Yeah, they sucked bad.
In 2014?
Yeah.
What a weird time that was. Closing it out with the NL West, the Dodgers at the top, 30-12, followed by the Padres at 25-17, Rockies are 20-20, Giants are 20-21, and then the Diamondbacks are 15-26. And Madison Bumgarner has not been performing for them. He just came back and got shelled.
Oh. Sucks.
Remember there was like a group that wanted Bumgarner on the Yankees?
I was part of that group.
I was very much not a part of that group.
I'm not.
He is currently 0-4 with a whip of 1.5.
That's bad.
An 8.44 ERA.
It's just not what you want.
No, he has zero complete games, zero shutouts, 9 walks, 21 runs, 9 home runs. He's a WAR of -0.6. What's his strikeout to walk? 15 strikeouts to 9 walks. 15 strikeouts seems low for Madison Bumgarner.
How many per 9?
I mean, that's 3 strikeouts a game. I'm not on like Baseball Reference or anything, so it won't tell me the K per 9, but he's played in 5 games, 15 strikeouts. So I don't know how long he went. Like how many innings he went. So
6.3 is low. Oh my god, 3.8 home runs per 9.
Yeah, he has not been playing well. They signed him to a pretty big contract for him.
25% ground ball rate? Oh my god.
Like I was surprised to see the deal he got. And I would have been furious if the Yankees signed him to this deal.
Yeah, I'd be same. Look.
$85 million for 5 years? I mean, for real? What year do we think this is? He's 31, but I mean, you can't look at age when you've been in the league for that long.
31's old anyway.
Yeah, but DeGrom's 30, but I don't think we look at DeGrom. I mean, DeGrom's 32, I think. But we don't look at him in the same way as we do. I mean, him and one of my favorite, like, weird things is that DeGrom and Clayton Kershaw are the exact same age.
That is crazy.
But
I just took DeGrom a little bit longer to get in.
Yeah.
But 30 used to be when they thought your prime was just for no reason. They just said 30. It's a nice round number. That's your prime. But then
so Mad Bum
came in and were like, actually no.
Mad Bum, he. By the way, one of the worst nicknames I've ever heard.
Mad Bum, baby.
He did. It just sounds like you have a bad case of diarrhea. He has He debuted in 2009. 10 years with the Giants. And after, like, two down years, the Diamondbacks were like, you know what? Let's give him, let's have him for 5 years. So when he's done with us, he'll be 36. And let's give him $85 million during that time. I mean, if the Yankees did that, I would have been fuming.
And you have every right to be, really.
I would have been hesitant to give him 2 years. I would have loved if we signed him to a 1 year. That's how I was feeling at the time of it. But when I heard he was getting north of two, I was like, okay, I don't want him. So, we're going to end it sadly, but probably the most important. And that's both Tom Seaver and Lou Brock have died, and it has been an awful week for baseball. Those are two Hall of Fame top-tier guys. And, you know, I was thinking about how dumb the Hall of Fame is. Because I think I was listening to the, I can't remember if it was the Yankees or the Mets game. I don't remember. But they brought up how he had the most votes prior to Ken Griffey. And I was like, who the hell are the people that didn't vote for Tom Seaver to go into the Hall of Fame? I hate the way the Hall of Fame works. I hate it so much. You look at your ballot, you see Tom Seaver, basically fixed the Mets, essentially was the face of baseball, and was straight up, he's on your, what, top five greatest pitchers of all time?
Three Cy Youngs.
He's in your all-time rotation, probably. And you're going to say, nah, he shouldn't go in the Hall of Fame. That's baloney. So I am not a fan of the way the Hall of Fame works. But let's not take away from the point that we knew it was coming with Seaver. He officially retired from public life. I think back in January or February, when I read that was crazy cryptic. I don't think it was cryptic. I think it was just solemn. Like, just hear someone retiring from public life because of their health is never something you want to hear. But he was pretty young. I think he was 75. And Lou Brock, 81. I mean, it's a good life. And you know what's crazy about Lou Brock? Do you guys know what his average was in the World Series games?
No. Was it over 400?
He hit 391 in 21 World Series games. That's ridiculous. So, rest in peace to them. I hope you guys enjoyed listening. We hope to see you next episode. And go Yankees.
Go Yankees. Go Bills. I turned 21. Next time you hear from me, I'll be 21.
What? Wait, when's your birthday?
Sunday.
And you were just going to go ahead and not tell me.
Scott, damn. You probably see all the Venmo transactions. Everyone will be Venmoing me happy birthday.
That's not swag, Tim.
What? Getting it's cash?
No, not swag that you didn't tell me.
Getting cash is swag.
Getting cash is always swag.
I wish I was at the Bills game, though. Imagine being 21 at Bills opening day.
Oh.
Dude, Bills Mafia for your 21st birthday?
Oh, right? My Lord.
I know, right?
Dude. There's not enough tables that have been manufactured.
No, that's not... Breaking tables, not swag.
I disagree. I love it.
It's been corrupted.
You've been corrupted.
I can understand that.
All right.
I saw a guy do a backflip off an RV, though.
Like Carl Edwards.
He did it 3 times, though. He just kept doing it. It was crazy. All right. Go Bills. Happy birthday to me. I'm the best. I'm so swag. I'm 21. I'm the best person ever. Go Tim.
I think you know what I think you are? I think you're not swag of the week. That's what I think you are.
Whoa.
Come on.
All right.
You know what is swag, though?
What?
Garrett Cole being a New York Yankee.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at BoogiePod and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.